All right, we are going to continue a series that we started last week. If you weren't here, I'm just going to kind of recap quickly. We're starting a new series called Unashamed. And the point of this series is to encourage all of us and to show us from Scripture that we shouldn't be ashamed in sharing our faith and living out gospel values through our lives. We're going to specifically be looking at the Apostle Paul, who we'll see suffered tremendously in his ministry. We'll see that he was, in fact, one of the greatest theologians, one of the greatest church planters, one of the most significant figures in Christian history, who was incredibly bold about his faith, bold about sharing the gospel, and suffered greatly for that. But what we looked at last week was that Paul was not always that way. Paul was not always a Christian. He didn't really grow up in a Christian home. He had something happen to him that completely changed the trajectory of his life. And today we're going to look at what exactly that event was. But last week we talked about the Apostle Paul. In his Jewish life was referred to as Saul, so I may use those words interchangeably or those names, but Saul would be referring to his Jewish life, Paul as his Christian life. But what we see in Scripture is that Saul is someone who actually, at the start of things, hated the church, hated Christians, hated the gospel, hated Jesus to such a degree that he was one of the greatest, perhaps, persecutors of the church. And so Saul, in his life, actually sent Christians to jail. He saw them killed. He was actually, we'll see, he was present when Stephen was martyred and stoned to death. Saul was there. And so Saul had this life where he was a Pharisee, raised up in Judaism. His whole identity was built on being a Jewish man and a Pharisee and a leader. He had a comfortable life. He was well-respected. He was a very accomplished Jewish leader. And then something happens that we'll read today, and it completely changes the trajectory of his life, where he becomes this incredible church planter, theologian, one of the most influential Christians to ever live. So we'll take a look and see, like, what happened to Saul to make this happen? How did Saul become Paul? And with that, when you understand, and this is why I want to hit this today, last week we looked at Romans chapter 1, verse 16, where Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And we said, look, for Paul, why would he say that? Right? He said he wants to go to Rome. He said, I have an urgency to preach the gospel to people, to Jews and to Greeks, to Gentiles, anybody who will listen. Paul has this urgency to share the gospel. And he says this line in Romans 1, which says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He said, well, why would he be ashamed? Because his entire Jewish identity is built on hating the church, hating Jesus, hating Christians, and suddenly he becomes one. And that entire identity and his whole Jewish life, he has to leave that behind and forsake that to follow Christ. So there's an element where he has to eat his words. He has to kind of do an about-face in front of everyone, and this identity that he had built is completely shattered, and there could be an element for Paul where he's like, how am I going to face those people? How am I going to face my family? What are my friends going to think? And I know many of you, and honestly, many of you came up to me after service last week and said, Dan, like, that's me. Like, I identify with Paul as well. And really, all of us do. Those of us who have come to Christ, because the Bible says previously we're separated from Christ. And we're enemies of God, but by his grace and his goodness, he makes us sons and daughters. So really, to an extent, all of us can identify with Paul, Saul, in that we were apart from God, separated from God, but brought into the family of God by his grace, by our faith. But when we see what happens to Paul in Acts chapter 9, this is the foundational event of Paul's life that springboards him into this life of evangelism, church planting, Christian theology. His writings make up a huge portion of the New Testament. So when you see things like Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, book of Galatians, those are Paul's letters. They're called the Pauline epistles. It's his letter to the church in Ephesus, his letter to the church in Rome, his letter to the church in Thessalonica. So much of the New Testament is his letters. That's where we go to understand our Christian theology, is often his letters to other churches. But it's the events of Acts chapter 9 specifically that serve as the springboard. This is the pivotal moment in Saul's life that makes him Paul, that completely changes where he is. And it's because of these events that he can say things like, you know what, I am not ashamed of the gospel. This event is why Paul is so bold and unashamed in sharing his faith. If you were to ask him, like, why are you the way you are? He would say, well, when they finish the Bible, read Acts 9. Because this is what happened to him that changed his life. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 9. If you're using a Pew Bible, it's page 808. Pew Bible 808, Acts chapter 9. There's a little bit of context. It's Acts, A-C-T-S, not Acts, like cut down a tree. The book of Acts is short for the Acts of the Apostles. So when you read the book of Acts, these are the events that took place immediately after the death and resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. So it's basically the earliest history of the church after the life of Christ. And so the beginning, you see the first few chapters, you see like the day of Pentecost, you see all these important events. In Acts chapter 9, Paul, Saul, enters the scene, and much of the tail end of the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, much of the tail end is Paul's missionary trips. And so what we're going to do is look at some of those instances where Paul preached and taught boldly and faced persecution and hardship in light of that. So that's where we're going. But again, all of that, it is not as impactful if you don't have Acts 9 first. So let's pick up. We're going to read 30 verses. It's a little bit long, but we're going to read exactly what happened to Paul, Saul. And then I'm going to draw out just four observations and 4 points from the text. So in Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 1, says this, "And Saul, Paul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that he, if he found any of this way," meaning the Christian faith, followers of Jesus, "if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem," throw them in jail, basically. "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou might receivest thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelled at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. This is what happened to Saul that made him Paul. This is why Paul writes to Rome that I am not ashamed of the gospel. This is why he is willing to take his whole Jewish identity and forsake it and leave it behind. He leaves his home and he travels all over that part of the world to reach people who he normally, previously, would have never even spoken to. And he goes from city to city, facing persecutions and beatings and jail and shipwrecks. And he just, this life of difficulty and persecution. Why? Because of this. Because Saul had this undeniable encounter with Jesus Christ. And that completely changed him. Where whatever he suffered from this point forward, and he says it in his writings, he's like, it's all worth it. It's like, what I've left behind is trash compared to the glory and the goodness of knowing Jesus Christ. It's because of Acts 9. Now, I want to pull out 4 points from the text that we just read. First, we see that Paul sees with new eyes as a result of this encounter. You see it in verses 17 and 18, that literally he was struck blind and scales came off his eyes. But also in verses 26 through 28, he encounters this man, Ananias. He encounters these disciples. He comes into this room. And these are people, think about this, that just days earlier, Saul was on his way to throw these people in jail. He hated these people. And now he walks into the room with these same folks, Ananias and the others, who were in Damascus, but now his perspective is completely changed. He has a completely new perspective because of this encounter he had with Christ. And now people who he had previously would have hated, who he would have loved to see killed, who he wanted to have thrown in jail, imagine him just walking into this room and seeing this sort of ragtag, maybe group of disciples, not the kind of people he typically hangs out with, but he looks around the room, and instead of hatred, he has a tenderness for these people. And instead of criticizing them, he loves these people. And he sees them not as enemies, but as brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul sees them with new eyes. And in much the same way, Ananias and the disciples, they see Saul with new eyes too, don't they? Ananias, he's called, God says, hey, I'm calling you to go and intercede with Saul of Tarsus. And Ananias is like, are you kidding me? I know who that is. He's like, he's a terrorist. He would kill me on sight. No questions asked. Are you sure you want me to go talk to him? And I commend Ananias for his faithfulness. God says, yes, I'm using Paul. I'm working in Paul's life. And I need you to go and meet him on the way, and you're going to be a part of this story. And so Ananias also sees him with new eyes. Somebody who he would have previously avoided like the plague for fear of death or jail, he goes right up to him. And what does he say? Brother Saul. Brother Saul. Wow. I love that he used that word. Oh, you're my brother now. Each one of them so at odds with each other and so separated because of Jesus, now they're brothers. And these disciples who, when Saul walked into that room, they probably just about fell off their chair like, oh, we're cooked. He found us. We're dead. But now they have new eyes. And they're like, wait, God did this with Saul? Saul is a disciple? He follows Jesus now? He's a brother? They see him with new eyes too. And I said last week, and there's a lot of ways where I feel like I can identify with Saul. Not that I was, again, killing or jailing Christians or anything, but like I had no interest in church. I thought it was stupid. I went to church for years and thought it was stupid. I just wanted to hang out with Naomi. That was really, for a couple of years, the only reason I went to church was to hang out with my wife. But I hated it. I didn't like the people. I hated the people. I argued with the preacher. It's like, it was all, hated it for years. And I know that feeling that perhaps Saul felt, and maybe some of you felt, where I walked into a church, tattoos, shaved head, heavy metal band t-shirts, you know, don't quite look the part, and being looked at a little bit sideways. I know that feeling. That was me. I get it. And I appreciate the disciples and Ananias, somebody who, again, they would have kind of wanted to keep at arm's length, because I was kind of that person walking to church, like, who's this guy? In fact, somebody, maybe I've told this story, somebody called my father-in-law when Naomi and I were dating and said, how do you do it? Your daughter is dating an ex-con. And I'm like, I'm on the dean's list at Fordham University at the time. But they're like, oh, the ex-con, your daughter's, and you know, my father-in-law who is like, you know, you got them all wrong. But I get that feeling where people are kind of like, I don't know about this guy. I want to keep him at arm's length. And I think that's why, personally, I'm so sensitive to this. Now, look, anybody who walks through this door, I don't care what you look like. I don't care what you smell like. This is my perspective, that whatever path somebody may be on at whatever time, that perhaps God is working in their lives like he was in Saul's, and perhaps we're sort of like an Ananias where God is putting this church on somebody's path, and that God is at work in this person's life, whoever they may be, and I don't put anybody at arm's length. I'm like, praise God, glad you're here. God's perhaps working in your life and we get to be a part of that. What an honor. Right? And that's why I think I'm so sensitive to that, because I know that feeling, and Saul knows that feeling where he walks into a room and nobody wants to be friends with him. Thank God they come to the realization quickly that he is an apostle. But it took Saul, new sight. He needed to see with new eyes. And in much the same way, the disciples needed to see Paul, with new eyes. Not because of anything they had done, but because of what Christ had done in Paul's life. Second, I appreciate that Paul does not hesitate, especially in light of all that he gave up. Paul's like, okay, I've had this undeniable encounter with Jesus, but what is my family going to say? I mean, I've got all my degrees, so to speak. I have my position. I have my status. What am I going to do? Tell people that I literally heard from the Lord Jesus and he struck me blind and I hung out with the disciples? Like, there could have been an element in Paul's mind where he's like, oh, let me ease into this thing. Let me figure out, like, how am I going to, like, angle this to my family so that they're, like, they're kind of okay with it. But no, Saul doesn't hesitate. Paul doesn't hesitate. He's like, look, this is such an impactful event in his life. He's like, I'm in. I'm going. And he said he comes to faith, and immediately he's baptized. And he immediately just starts preaching. He's like, I'm going to go into the synagogue, probably scare the bejesus out of everybody. But he starts preaching Christ immediately. He's not easing into it. He's not like, let me just dip my toe and let me just see. He's like, no. What has happened to me and the way God has worked in my life, I'm in. I appreciate that Paul does not hesitate. when you and I have an opportunity to be bold about our faith, let's not hesitate. And if any one of us have come to Christ by faith like Paul did, I mean, you have had something undeniable happen in your life. You know what that is. Remember that. And Paul acts immediately. He's like, I'm going to be baptized. I'm going to publicly demonstrate that my old life, my whole identity, publicly is gone. And you know, like, word is going to get back quickly. Right? All of Saul's Jewish leader friends, all the other Pharisees, all the leadership and the priests, they're like, yo, Saul in Damascus, he's preaching Jesus. Saul got baptized. Saul is hanging out with the Christians. That word would have spread fast. And Paul's like, oh, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. This is what happened to me. He doesn't hesitate. He acts. Third, Paul made a sacrifice. In his action and in his boldness to be baptized and to preach and to go into the synagogues, he made a sacrifice. The people who once respected Paul, loved Paul, it says twice, they want to kill him. Now, you and I will probably not face opposition and persecution quite that severe. But man, Paul took a step, he crossed a line. He's like, I'm over here, I'm with the Jewish folks, I hate that church. Something happens, and Paul says, he's over here now. And he crossed that line. And when he crossed that line, everyone who knew him and loved him and respected him now hated him to the point where they wanted him dead. But again, Paul had this experience. He's like, look, what am I going to do? I can't deny what has happened to me. And if it costs him friendships, if it costs him status, he's like, okay, I don't know what to tell you guys. My life has changed. Like, we may not face persecution quite so severe. I hope we don't. But will we, if we're bold for our faith, potentially, you know, some people might want to hang out with us a little bit less. Yeah. So, oh, they're just going to talk about that Jesus stuff. Yeah, I am. And it may come at a sacrifice. But again, if you've had a moment, something like what Paul has experienced, and you've come to faith in Christ and he's changed your life, like, I'm willing to give up some things. I'm willing to give up my reputation and my respect and my position because I have to be bold about what's happened. So we see that Paul makes a sacrifice. And finally, the fourth thing we see, this is this earlier in the story, but I just want to make the point that the truth that we experience is sometimes more powerful and more impactful than the truth that we're told. The truth we experience is sometimes more impactful than the truth that we are told. What does that mean? Paul knew what the Christians believed, right? He had heard the gospel before. He knew that those crazy Christians, they believe that he was crucified and rose again. And, oh, come on. He knew. It wasn't like new information to him. But it wasn't until Paul was quite literally knocked on his butt by the Lord that he actually came to faith. We were talking about this yesterday in our men's group, much the same way Thomas, right? Thomas was like, man, I got to see it. I mean, they told him, Christ is back. He's resurrected. And he's like, I got to see it. Now, any of us here who have come to faith in Christ, we've had a moment something like this, where you've all been knocked on your butts, so to speak, where the scales have come off your eyes, so to speak. And I hear people who are like, man, I've been to church 1,000 times. I've read the Bible. I've heard about Jesus. But there comes a moment where you are knocked on your butt, so to speak, and the scales come off, and it's like you see the world in living color. And I've heard many of you say this. It's like, man, I've been to church. I've done all that. But something happens where you're like, Dan, I'm reading the Bible now, and I've read it before, but the words are jumping off the page. and something's happening to me where at times where usually I would be angry and take vengeance, I'm calm. And something's happened to me where I find like I want to fight people, and I don't. And I feel like I want to take vengeance, but I'm merciful. I feel like there's times where I would have been impatient, but I'm patient. There's times where I would have just lost it on my spouse, but I didn't. And you've recognized a change, perhaps not exactly like Paul, but in much the same way. Because there comes a point for every one of us where something happens in your life and you're knocked on your butt and the scales come off your eyes and you see differently like Paul saw differently. Now, what is that? Right? I know many of you have said, like, man, okay, I've had this moment, I've come to Christ, like, the world is in living color for me now, everything is different, and I'm trying to explain it to my friend and they don't get it. I'm trying to explain it to my spouse, I'm trying to tell my kids, I go to my coworkers and I tell them exactly what happened to me, and it's just like, nothing happens. Why is that? Why is it you can show somebody this was so impactful for me and it just falls flat at their feet and has no impact? Why is that? It's frustrating, isn't it? Try as you might, as compelling as you try to be, as real as it is to you, and you try to tell someone and they're like, I don't see it. It's almost like you see a beautiful painting and you're talking to someone who's physically, literally blind. And then let's say they've been blind since birth, like anyone apart from Christ. And you're describing a beautiful painting, the colors, and it looks like a real sunrise, and you're describing it to a blind person, and they're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I know many of you have been frustrated by that experience, where you just want somebody to get it. Here's the thing, and we see it in Paul's life, and you see it, and this is what's happened in your own life, is that the Christian faith is not primarily information. The Christian faith is not primarily, it's not a philosophy. It's not just information that you're told, but it's something that you experience, that you live. Because at the core of Christianity, it's not an idea, it's a person, Jesus. And many people, like Paul, will live a very religious life, a very spiritual life. Right? Paul didn't go from secular to religious, did he? No, he was a very religious person. Incredibly, more than any of us here. But his religion was dead and lifeless. Now, he was devout. And look, Paul also didn't go from timid to bold. Paul was always bold, best we can tell. Right? Very emboldened in his faith in what he believed before, and very bold after. The difference is bold about what? Bold about what? And there are people, again, who will live a very religious life. They'll have a spiritual life of some sort. And many of you have said this to me. I know you've experienced this. We're like, yeah, I've done religious practices. I've done rituals. I've had a spiritual life. I've tried to do spiritual things. But it's dead. Rituals are dead. Words, philosophies, ideas, they may be helpful, but they're essentially dead. Christ is alive. Christ is a person you encounter, not a philosophy that you adopt. And that's the difference. Paul had philosophies and rituals and ideas, and he was super bold about them. But he realized, like, this is dead. This all pointed to Christ. And he realized that. And that's fundamentally what needs to happen in some fashion, perhaps not quite like Paul on the road to Damascus, but that is essentially what needs to happen in someone's life. And I know many of you have said it, like, man, I was religious, I've been to church, it all felt kind of dead, I didn't feel God in it, perhaps because he wasn't. But then you have this moment, you come to Christ, and it's like an explosion. And again, living color. The words jump off the page. Things change in your heart that you never could explain or have expected. It's because Jesus is alive. And you have an encounter with him. That's ultimately what changes people. Jamie, yesterday, brought a great word at our men's breakfast. I would encourage you, if you haven't been, get there. I was so fired up after he spoke yesterday. Almost flipped the table. Seriously. I was like, but Jamie talked about this concept. And like, Jamie had been planning this for about a month to speak yesterday. He was planning for a month. A month ago, I did not even know what I was going to be this series. I didn't have it lined up yet. But God was at work in Jamie's heart to prepare this message for yesterday. And the whole theme was this idea of our sight and spiritual blindness, physical blindness, but spiritual blindness, and how, wow, like our eyes and the way we perceive things and how important that is, but also at a spiritual level, how God opens our eyes. And I'm like, dude, that's like my first point tomorrow, is that Saul sees with new eyes. And I'm like, what is going on? And then I was talking to a neighbor yesterday at a birthday party. And he's like, oh, I've been trying to get to your church. I'm trying to get to your church. He hasn't been yet. But he goes, man, like I got three boys. He's like, I just want their eyes to be opened. And I'm like, like, what? And so like I tell Jamie this morning, he's like, dude, you just gave me chills. But I'm like, look, guys, like, if you've been there, you know. And if God has knocked you on your butt, so to speak, you know. And if the scales have come off your eyes, you know. You know exactly what happened to Paul, because it happened to you. Perhaps slightly different, but you understand. But I want to ask you, if you're here and that hasn't happened, I would invite you not to religion, not to rituals, not to a philosophy, but to Christ. That's what we're so bold about, is Jesus, the gospel, not all the other extra. People are bold about all sorts of stuff, unimportant stuff, weird stuff. Let us just be bold about Jesus Christ. I want to live a life like Paul, so like, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'll tell anybody, anybody who will listen. I don't really care what it costs anymore. Like, I see where this world is going. And I'm like, man, I just have an increased urgency every week to preach the gospel to people. And I told the guys yesterday, I was like, man, I want to deliver this sermon now. Like, I want to do it now. Like, let's go, you know. I just feel this urgency. Do you? Amen. Do you feel an urgency to tell people about Jesus? A boldness? Has something like this happened to you? Then let's be bold and urgent about it. If something like this hasn't happened to you and you're sitting there like, Dan, that's cool. I don't know what you're talking about. Amen. Okay. Like, completely understand. It's this simple. It's faith in Christ. Every one of us, Bible says, as a sinner has fallen short of the glory of God, it's simply a matter of putting our faith in Christ, that the work he did on the cross pays the penalty for our sin. That's it. No hoops, no rituals. I don't have any voodoo, magic, anything. Faith in Christ. And by that, he makes you righteous. Wow. And when you realize the gift that you've been given, it makes you the kind of person who is more generous and more kind and more patient, and the Spirit of God actually works in you. Not rituals, not anything else, just the Spirit of God inside you bringing these things out. So as we go around this world, we look more and more like Jesus Christ. And we get together at times like this to encourage each other, because it's tough out there. But like Saul, like you guys have done this, right? Like you got knocked on your butt. The scales came off your eyes, and then you find yourself in a room full of disciples, like Saul did, church. You find yourself in church, and you're like, what the heck am I doing here? But God's at work. But it starts with faith in Christ. That's the first step. And I will tell you, and everybody's saying amen, and I know many of you, many more of you would, that changes everything. And much like Paul, that will set your life on a completely different trajectory. It'll set your family, your marriage, your workplace, your community on a completely different trajectory. If you have questions about that, please come see me. Again, I'm urgent about this. Urgent. Because I've seen what it can do. And I see the hope that it brings and the life that comes back to people's eyes. So if you have questions about this, if anything I've said is not clear, or if you want to take a next step, please come see me. As we close in prayer, though, let's, for those of us who have come to faith in Christ, who have been knocked on our butts, who have had the scales fall off and see the life anew, let's pray for boldness. Every one of us has some story, some testimony. We all have an Acts chapter 9 of some sort. And so let's pray that God would bring that to our memory. Maybe it was a long time ago. Maybe it was last week. I don't know. But let's pray that God would bring that to our memory and that it would inspire in us a boldness about our faith. Father, I thank you for the time to look into your word today. I thank you for what you did in Paul's life, how you changed him. I love how you take unlikely people and unlikely candidates and use them for your glory. Seems the more unlikely someone is to do your work, the more you're glorified when it actually happens. But I pray that you would call to memory for each of us our Acts chapter 9 moment, whatever that may be, and that it would inspire in us anew a boldness and an urgency to share the gospel. As we've been changed, that we would bring that word out to others and they too would be changed. Just humbly ask for your help. We ask for boldness. We ask for opportunity, and that we would walk in the opportunities that you give us. And ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.